Without further ado, let's welcome Jenny Damaris, and good morning.
Good morning.
How are things going?
Great.
We finally got our first sort of chill, it feels like, today.
Yeah, we did. The National Weather Service put out their first frost alert warning late yesterday afternoon, and it actually expires at 9 o'clock this morning.
Well, I know you've been working on some winter weather stuff, and maybe we can talk about that in just a moment, but really, the emergency services position was the one position restored in the budget cycle. And I think with the tsunami, as we were talking to Bob King briefly about here last March,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, really a crucial position for Lincoln County. And, you know, Curtis Landers did a wonderful job. And I know you are still working with him. So, but let's rewind just a second and talk about your life has been about building up to this, really. I mean, you have been involved in emergency management at so many levels. When did you know that this was something you were interested in? Was there an event, or how did it happen?
Well, so first of all, let me just say I'm very honored to be chosen to be in this position. I am a hometown Lincoln County girl, graduated from the Lincoln County School District, only left for a period of time while my husband was in the armed services, and then we mm-hmm. chose to come back to Lincoln County. This is where we wanted to be. This is where we wanted to raise our family. And so looking back sort of on emergency management, I was very fortunate to be able to start my career here locally with one of our local healthcare hospitals. At that time, it was Pacific Communities Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They were nice enough to hire me fresh right out of high school, and I sort of worked my way up, and I was in the safety and engineering department. And my boss, Neil Marquis, at the time, empowered me to take on more responsibility, to learn and to grow. And part of that responsibility was safety committee and hazardous materials and emergency mm-hmm. management. At that time, it was always referred to as disaster planning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was one of a two-person team that worked with our local community partners, fire and police and ambulance services, to conduct our full-scale exercise that we would do each year for the healthcare facility. And so really my responsibilities just grew, sort of on the job sort of training. And then my husband joined the military service. We went away to Kansas, and I had an opportunity at that facility to help them. We moved on to Fort Lewis, Washington. I grew even more at that healthcare facility and really got my incident command background and experience during my time there. We had a short stint up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and then we decided we wanted to come back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so upon my arrival back in Lincoln County, I was able to secure a position back at Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital. And for a period of time, the safety officer, emergency management coordinator, but pretty much the entire length of time I was back at Samaritan Pacific, I was their emergency management coordinator. And it has always been my passion, just being able to bring those resources together and focusing on our employees and our patients and getting them ready and creating the teams that we needed to be able to respond. We had a patient tracking team, a labor pool team, the finance team. We really worked collaboratively when it was time for us to respond. And that doesn't take into account all the preparedness, the emergency readiness fairs, all the other activities we did that really built up to those processes. And now that I'm transferring over to the county, well, I've been on the job now for, I think this is moving into my fifth week.
Uh-huh.
All of those experiences and my training, my knowledge, and my official training at LBCC for emergency management leadership and all the FEMA courses that have been funded by the taxpayers, it was my personal intent to make sure that all the free training and everything that I received, I found a way to put it to good use and take advantage of that. And I think working with the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office and the Lincoln County Commissioners, it's the right place for me to be, and I am going to give it my all.
You know, I was really impressed when we were listening to the final, the introductory. The meet and greet, that's what it was, between you and the other candidate. There were two candidates left as far as the emergency services management went. And to listen you talk about understanding how to implement certain procedures in an organization was really so much of, I mean, you just touched on it briefly. And the other candidate hadn't had that experience. You know, what makes you really hyper aware that you need to be very diligent and, you know, practice these exercises and implement a system within organizations? Because I know from what you've said before, you've literally went into an organization that hadn't had, you know, a procedure really in
right.
place. And for me, it's been difficult to wrap my head around it. You know, the tsunami really helped, but you've got to practice this stuff.
Yeah, you
and
do.
Is there anything about the healthcare system with, you know, your vulnerable population right, you know, in the facility that makes
right.
you a little bit more aware that how
well,
pertinent it is?
You know, so Casey, what I'm going to really say is one thing about working in the healthcare industry, they have all I've worked in six different healthcare industries over five different states, and all of those organizations that I work for, they always had the primary mission of putting the patient care and the quality first. And knowing that healthcare facilities are very vulnerable to loss of water, electricity, even though we have backup generators. So we knew we had all of these vulnerabilities. In case in point, we have a document called Hazard Vulnerability Analysis, which mm-hmm. all healthcare institutions and, for that matter, all jurisdictions are required to have, and they refer to it as an HVA. So when you go through that process and you recognize where are your vulnerabilities, how do we mitigate things that we can take care of today? How can we prepare our staff to make sure that they're prepared at home, that they're prepared here, they know what to do, and then you're ready for that response mode.
Yeah.
And the ultimate goal is to make sure that doesn't matter what the type of the event is, that we have the capability to recover from an emergency and move on, to get back to where we were. So that preparedness, the mitigation, responding to an event, even if it's just a, you know, a motor vehicle crash on Highway 20 that we do day-to-day business, that community or those responders, we have to be able to respond and recover from that. And so all of those four practices you put in place just become part of your everyday business. I mean, it's just like embedded in, you know, my brain and how it works.
So there was no particular event when you were a child?
No,
a volcano erupting.
You know, I will tell you, the number one thing that really led me to be the person that I am are all of the employers and my direct supervisors I've ever worked with. I have had the great fortune to have been empowered by every supervisor I have ever worked for that said, you know what, keep reaching a little bit higher, learn a little bit more, and you're going to go a little bit farther, and it's going to pay off. And that's the reason why I have the capabilities I do today.
Lincoln County Connections, I do want to remind you that this program can be downloaded later at kcup.net, and also you can listen to this in HD if you have an HD receiver. We're talking to Jenny Damaris. She's the new emergency services manager. Well, maybe not so new. You've been in the community forever and very tightly connected to things the county has done, conducted emergency exercises. But, you know, with our little a little cold streak happening here, what's happening with winter weather? I mean, we just left a winter weather week, too.
Right. So the National Weather Service puts out annually a Winter Weather Awareness Week, and you can go directly to their website. However, what we actually put together was a short presentation for our community members to access directly from our Lincoln County Emergency Management website. And when you mm-hmm. click on that link, it will give you all the links that you need to go directly to that specific information for the Weather Awareness Week. So if you're only interested in one or two topics, you don't have to read the entire thing. You can just click on the information that's useful to you. Also in there, we also put additional links to ODOT. So the trip check, always reminding individuals, if you're taking a long travel trip or even just going to the valley, check before you go, ODOT trip check. Also, there's another link on there for the NOAA alerts. So if you'd like to sign up or subscribe to the tsunami warnings or alerts, you can mm-hmm. do that. It can come to your smartphone, to your email, to text. And you can also sign up for earthquake notifications. So if you want to know, if you sort of have an interest in how large the magnitude was somewhere in the world or just here locally, then you can sign up for that as well. And then also we put additional links to our local CERT groups. So community emergency response teams, that's a great way for you to get involved. They have free training that's good, sort of first responder training like neighborhood programs. And it also gets you a way to be out in the community and be active as part of that group. So when something does happen in your community, you can be part of that solution and be able to work together. Also, we put a link to the American Red Cross, our Willamette chapter. Great community partners here in Lincoln County. The folks that manage that for us and our shelters and the operations, we would not be able to do what we can do without them. So I always encourage folks to remember that they're there and see what available resources they have to you as an individual.
Yeah, the emergency services section of the county website, I mean, there's a lot of resources there. I mean, you can really go there and learn about all the things you're talking about. And I think, as you had said, you're kind of in a phase right now where public outreach is
right.
one of your goals.
Yeah. So part of my orientation process, sort of looking at the first 90 days of being on the job, one of my first priorities is getting to know those community, those community partners I'm not already familiar with. It's really important to me. I have to have a full understanding of the geography of our county, where the floodplains are, where the isolated communities are, the off-service roads, where our radio towers are. I have to have that in-depth knowledge of all of that information so that when I'm standing in the emergency operations center at the county and information is coming in and I'm assisting the sheriff's office or the board of commissioners with that response process, that I have the background to give them the information that they need for them to be successful in that response. Also part of that is just learning the operations of the county and the employees that work there and where do they work and making sure that they have the preparedness tips that they need in order for their families to be prepared in the event that something were to happen. Also with my orientation, as you mentioned, public outreach. One of our focus areas now that we have, I'll just refer to it as man hours, we have a full-time county emergency services coordinator that has the time to work with public outreach. And that would mean working with our other local community partners. And my goal is to be able to have sort of, not really a standardized message, but to make sure that we all have the same available resources. And so what I've been putting together, so previously I've actually been volunteering for the sheriff's office since December. So I've been working on a lot of these projects already. And so we sort of have a small cache of community outreach information. So we have what you might refer to as a honey bucket. So it's an emergency cache kit in a 5-gallon bucket, has all the things that you need for like 72 hours for 2 to 3 people, an American Red Cross kit. We have all of these examples and props, how to do water purification at home, examples of that, FEMA brochures on readiness, how to be, if you are a person of a senior age group or a person with mobility issues, we have brochures on help you plan for that, financial preparedness, thinking about your finances. So I have all of those brochures and things available that are now available to be checked out by our community members or by any of our community partners so that we can all use the same information to speak with the same message.
You know, maybe, Jenny, for our listeners, can you kind of talk about the role the county has overall in everybody's safety and how you work with other organizations and how it relates to the state. I mean, tell us how we are sort of this umbrella for the public safety.
So first of all, because we are responsible for the citizens that are in the unincorporated areas, so if you're outside of a city jurisdiction, then we take that responsibility for your life safety with the sheriff's office and patrol and making sure that everything you need is going to be there when an event occurs. But our primary responsibility is really acting as a liaison and a resource coordinator. So when we have a large-scale event that happens and the city, municipalities, or our fire districts activate with their own command system, and they don't have enough resources to do the job that they need to do, then they're going to make their way to the county, virtually, meaning, you know, information sharing, and ask for the resources that they need. So then we sort of become a brokering agency. So we should have a clear understanding of the resources that are available to us within the county services or with our other community partners. And then our job is to find those items that another fire district or city needs, get the items to them, or if they're not available here locally, then we push that request up to the state, Oregon Emergency Management, because they would be activated to a certain extent to support us as well. And then they would then broker among the other counties, or they would broker with other states to get the resources that we need to bring them here for us to be successful in that response.
We're really working within a system, a tried system of span of control. And I mean, I don't want to get the listeners too lost in terminology, but we use the incident command system.
Yes.
We are required by FEMA to use this. And if folks didn't realize, I mean, literally on our tsunami last March, I mean, we activated our emergency operations center.
We did.
And that kind of acts as the hub to coordinate things, correct?
So really thinking about is resource coordination and a liaison role to all of the jurisdictions within the county and back to the state. And as you spoke about that incident command system in our March event, what you really saw is all 8 fire districts and city municipalities coming together in what you would refer to in the incident command system as a unified command. plan. So the county was there. We were pretty much the lead agency. However, all of our decisions were made together in a uniform process. So all the fire districts agreed this would be the time that we would do a final evacuation. We would set off our notifications. We would clear the beaches, and we would have all of our emergency responders off the beach staged somewhere else at this particular time. So there wasn't one agency that was making decisions. It really was a uniform decision-making process, which is what the incident command system encourages us to do.
And we were literally there.
Yes, we both
were. In communications with all of the jurisdictions and agencies working together to kind of coordinate, a process.
And I would also like to add, even though that event occurred in March, there are real practices being put in place, which we refer to as our after-action report. So when the event is over, we go through and we analyze what worked, what didn't work, along with our community partners. And so the county's after-action report, we've been taking steps to resolve those issues that occurred during that tsunami event. One, working with our local media to ensure a better communication through the emergency alert system, working with our fire districts on making sure that the teleconference works, just some of those real simple logistics, and then also our new Everbridge program, which is the mass notification system that's now available to us. We're about 95% complete with implementation of that. We actually practice it during the Hatfield Marine Science Center South Beach tsunami evacuation event. Mm-hmm. We were able to use the program sort of like you draw a circle on a Google map, if you will, of lower part of Newport and pretty much most of South Beach. It showed there was 2,700 available landlines in that particular circle. And then we put out a mass notification that a drill would be taking place. Watch out for pedestrians. Highway 101 would be closed for a very short period of time to allow the evacuees to cross 101. And then that allows us now to be able to communicate directly with our residences when an emergency happens. And those 2,700 calls went out in less than 4 minutes. So that's how quickly phone services are working and operable, that we'll be able to connect with them and let them know what's going on or refer them to another location for more information. Also with that, too, which will be advertised here very shortly, community members will be able to give us additional information. So perhaps their cell phone numbers, if they don't have a landline, they'll be able to go to our county webpage, give us their information, and then they can actually set their own notifications. If they would like to receive flood notifications, let's say the Siletz River or the Alsea River, they could put their information there. If they just want tsunami alerts directly, that will be coming through our Everbridge system. So there's going to be some more information sharing and user, so the user is going to have more options as a citizen.
So really, you're working, it's almost totally implemented.
Correct.
Some things to work through. So we almost want to have a special program dedicated to the Everbridge, because I think if everybody has options, more than one option to receive information, whether it's critical, emergencies, or even
just
informational stuff.
Mm-hmm. And also be thinking about local businesses.
Great.
This might be a good way for you to get more information as well.
So Everbridge system, I know we're kind of running out of time. We wanted to talk about the new water filtration systems. You've been working on grants for a couple years on that. That's a great success story. Jenny, with the last couple of minutes left, do you want to emphasize anything in particular?
I would. I always take the last few seconds that I have to emphasize your personal preparedness. Take a few minutes out of your day. Think about what you have in your car. What you have in your car right now today, will it get you through the next 72 hours with food, water, and clothing? Ready.gov, to me, is the best place to go for the standardized information of how to prepare yourself, your family, or your business to be ready to meet that need.
That's great. And remember, the emergency services website has links to ready.gov. And
correct.
Start, making your own personal to-go kits. We have been working on ours. We've got these two duffel bags that, have water in them, that have clothing in them.
Simple things like taking your important documents, photocopying them, and putting them in a Ziploc bag in your to-go kit.
And so folks know, we've been talking to Jenny Damaris. She's Emergency Services Manager for Lincoln County. You can contact her through the Lincoln County's website. There's actually, if you go to the homepage too, and just so everybody realizes, there is a current watches, warnings, and emergency link on the left that leads you to the emergency services section of the website. And really, if you think the weather's dicey, if you have any concerns, that's a great place to go and begin to explore all of these issues, especially personal preparedness, too, like you're emphasizing, because that's really, you've got to be able to take care of yourself.
Yep.
So Very, very important. And you are open, I'm sure, to questions from the public and businesses.
And yes. And also, I'd like to encourage, if there's anyone that's been thinking about volunteering somewhere, I would love to have you as a volunteer in the emergency services office. We have some great projects that are going to be coming up, a full-scale exercise that's fully grant-funded. And I have a special place in my office where a desk for a volunteer. So if you have any interest whatsoever, please contact me at 541-265-4199. I would love to have you as a volunteer.
Well, thank you, Jenny, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Lincoln County Connections. Remember, next week, same time, same place, here on KCUP.